God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. The Lord said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. So you know that phrase, a crack in the matrix, a glitch in the system, or for people maybe our age, that beautiful scene from Frank Elbaum's The Wizard of Oz, where you realize that behind the curtain is not a great and mighty wizard, but a scared and a meek, not in a good way, little scientist. Remember that? The party does not like the fact that the act is breaking down, that someone saw the magician put the rabbit into the hat. They don't like it. Think about some things with me. In the American economy, it's seven companies get roughly 40% of all investment dollars. Why? Because it's automatically going to them. Why? Because of electronic trading funds automatically going to them. Is it connected to their performance? No. No, it's not. Take, for instance, Apple. I think it's been five straight quarters flat to even sometimes down. Their stock goes up 50%. Why? Well, because everyone's buying it. Why? Because it's automatically put in there. Why? Because that's how the system works. See, the powers behind the scenes, the shadow governments, and do we really need to debate that? If you look at the figurehead and his mental decline, which is clear and sad, and it's probably Parkinson's and many other things, notice that the wheels keep moving. The illegal immigrants still flow into the country. The bills to force people to speak lies are still being pushed. The funding of the both sides of a war still happening. The man, and we'll get to some of the sound bites, I'm sure you've heard them, who can't keep words straight for even a couple of minutes, who argues with himself within 90 seconds of making a statement. I will not talk to Putin. And then not even 90 seconds, about 20 seconds later, I'd be happy to talk to Putin. He's been degenerating for years. We've all watched it. What's happening is that we're now watching the party respond. They're debating what to do. Now, think of this. You know, I'm talking about the finances of the country. Why? Because it's fakery. 40% of dollars going to seven companies without regard to the performance, because that's just the way things are. That's fakery. That's conjuring. Think about this. When the figurehead gave his big boy press conference last night, a free and adversarial press was there to hold him to account by knowing exactly which reporters would be called on and in what order, and in all likelihood, with what question they would ask, in all likelihood. One of the moments that was off script, almost certainly, was where the figurehead actually invited a follow-up question. And the figurehead fumbled it, like he fumbled a lot of other things. I'm not using the phrase figurehead to disrespect God Almighty. God has allowed Biden to be in that position. I am speaking to be accurate. Shadow government. Let's think about this. What would that be? It would be people operating in the shadows. I mean, that's what it means. Who actually is having the discussions that matter? while that bit of theater was going on and they erected the fences again because there's armies of white supremacists crouched outside of Washington, D.C., ready to seize power at any second. That's why the fences went back up. Who is actually discussing the things that matter? For instance, this economy I just mentioned. Think about some things with me. You know the common blessings God gives us because he loves us? He doesn't need to. He didn't need us. He wanted us. And so he gives us the common blessings of food and water. Governments around the world are making obvious, clear attempts to limit our access to certain foods and to water. They're doing that in cooperation with big companies. They're doing it across the board. The issues that matter as that's going on, as the things that are real, that God made, they're trying to corral those, to fence those off from us. Who's actually discussing that during a time of theater? As the figurehead's performance last night was, what, a desperate attempt to make things right? And here's what we're seeing. They don't like that we can see the rabbit going back into the hat. That's the panic. That's the cause of all this. I compare this so often mentally, maybe you do too, to that great moment, great and horrible moment, horrible, the death of Jesus, the process of getting to that death, the incredible act of humility. A being, God Almighty, made flesh, who could have, with the wink of an eye, called down 10,000 angels to stop the beating, the scourging. He didn't. Upon his death, the curtain fell. I've made the comparison before. I hope you'll think of it again. God tore down the curtain. No longer would people need the intercession of the religious bureaucratic class in order to speak to him. No one need to have any longer a Pharisee doing it, not even a temple. Simply now you and me, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit. God said, no, no gatekeeper. What are we seeing now? A stripping bare. A media that all of a sudden has come back to say, wait a minute, everybody saw the rabbit going back in the hat. We need to act like we had nothing to do with the magic trick. We need to step forward and say, we didn't participate in this. We didn't put up the mirrored door to make it look like the lady disappeared. That's not our trap door. We're honest people. We speak truth to power. Well, that is, when we submit our questions in advance and agree to be good boys and good girls and ask only the questions that we've been given permission to ask of the great man who came out 2 hours late. Why? Did anyone ask that question? Why are you 2 hours late? Oh, and this, when you're late, and being late drives me nuts. I actually have a compulsion about it. It's probably a sickness. When you're late and you've kept people waiting, what are the first words out of your mouth? Sorry for being late. I bet they are. What were the figureheads? He told people to sit down. Did he acknowledge that he was late? See, it wasn't just the people in the room. They're paid to be there. It was us. Well, why should he apologize? We are watching God do everything he can to say, you have been right now for the past 3 years. Your country has supposedly been run by this man. Do you actually think he's running it? Now, of course, God is responsible for him being there, but I think God is asking us a question. Who's actually running things? Let's turn that around. Who's actually running things for you? When I was watching the press conference, I fell into the old political behaviors. Now, honestly, I felt sorry for the figurehead. I really did. But I fell into old behaviors. Oh, grab this clip, grab that clip. I mean, obviously preparing for the show, that's my job. We did it in our podcast too, and team members doing it. Well, Todd, I got this clip. But what about this? Who is in charge of your life? Is it a shadow government? I need to earn more money. I need to trade up. This wife has gotten old. I need to trade up. This husband doesn't earn enough money. I need to trade up. I'm watching marriages dissolve. Young people. It's horrible and sad. And sometimes it's the only thing that can be done for these young people. Sometimes. Who is running things in your life? So often for me, it is a struggle to wake up and have God's word on the tip of my tongue. I'll just admit it. Often I wake up with anything but God's word, meaning at the very moment I open my eyes, it's busyness, it's schedule, it's what must be done in the world. Well, you show me that morning priority, I'll show you who's running your life. And in the case of the figurehead, to come back to the shadow government discussion, as we watch the figurehead fumble through his speech and fumble through rather this press conference, even with agreed upon questions, I think, because they were agreed upon reporters, I was wondering, in terms of shadow government, you know, the people actually making the decision, do you think there's a constitutional order? Let's go back to the war room scenario, and we'll talk about this as we get to some of the sound bites from the figurehead's press conference. Do you think there's a constitutional order when you're dealing with shadow government members? Let me unfold this a little bit. Here's what I'm referring to. There's discussions, of course, about dumping the figurehead, that the DNC should dump him. There's demands. Hollywood actors, George Clooney and others, are now demanding that the DNC change its rules. Heads up, the DNC doesn't care about rules. They'll change them if it's convenient. But here's what's at play, as I see it. You could have Nancy Pelosi looking at the numbers, looking at the statistics, saying we might lose, even if we cheat, even if we do a better job of rigging the election than we did last time. I know it was rigged. I think it was stolen. She could be looking at that. She could be going to Biden's people saying he can't win. Even if we cheat, we'd have to cheat too much. They'd catch us this time. We'll all go to prison. He's got to step down. You have Dr. Jill Biden, who's not really a doctor, but were to say that, she's going to say, no, this is my power, this is my legacy, but something else. Nancy Pelosi and the FBI could go to the Biden family and say, look, we've had these files for years, we've had plants, and we know this. They've had informants within Bidenville for decades. We know what you've done. We can, anytime we want to, bring charges. We can come and say revelatory new information. We can do that. And we could force you out. We could do a lot more to Hunter than we've done. And you know what Hunter could do? Put in a phone call to Chinese intelligence assets or bosses. And they could call Nancy Pelosi. And they could say, hey, Nancy, we've got this unfortunate footage of your husband and of you. Remember that trip you made to Taiwan where you openly engaged in insider trading with your kid, your son? We've got all the receipts. You're not taking our guy out. We paid for him. Does a shadow government have constitutional order? Does it have an org chart? A respect for chain of command? Well, I'll tell you what. Satan's minions have respect for his chain of command. Do we have respect for our ultimate chain of command? Do you trust God's decision to keep the figurehead in that position? We'll get back to some of the sound bites that made up that monologue mentally. Now the actual sounds of the figurehead. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Really important resource we're going to discuss coming up. Kendra Knox is going to tell us about a program called Activate. Vital, vital for young people facing a world that hates the Word of God. And we need to be able to counter that. So she'll be joining us here shortly. You saw, I'm sure, much of this discussion, much of the figureheads' press conference last night that they chose on their own to call a big boy press conference. I don't know who possibly thought that was a good idea, but they did it. And of course, the figurehead called Zelensky by another name. Can you guess which one?
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
No. And we've heard it, but consider this. Please, from a different perspective. It's not the sadness of a man who likely has Parkinson's. May God give him mercy. And may God call Joe Biden back. Because I believe he's departed God entirely. There's this. A war room scenario. United States, God forbid, has been attacked. You have 5 minutes to make a decision. Mr. President, what do we do?
Fire the guy. I meant fire the guy, not the missiles. What, you fired?
That should chill people. These are real discussions. And we talked in the last segment about the shadow presidency. Well, they're taking care of us, right? I mean, the wheels keep rolling. Who? Based on what org chart? Do they maintain constitutional order? I can answer that. No. Because the Constitution does not make room for a shadow presidency. So Biden tries and fails to recover from calling Zelensky President Putin.
President Putin. I'm going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway.
Oh. Well, that explains it. Again, anybody can misspeak. I do it on this program, but it's not a pattern because, praise God, I don't yet have Parkinson's. May I not get it? Now, again, think of the shadow presidency as you hear this. Biden said he's following the advice of whom?
I'm following the advice of my commander-in-chief, my of the chief of staff of the military, as well as the Secretary of Defense and our intelligence people.
The war room scenario. Here is the figurehead at the head of the table. There are three or four interactive screens in front of them. One is a live battlefield feed coming straight off the helmets of eight special operators who are in to disarm the bomb before it. Mr. President, what do we do?
What?
We don't always face war room scenarios, but we face these scenarios. Does Joe Biden understand that by funding both sides of the war in Israel, he's lengthening it? Does he get that? Well, of course he does. How? How would he possibly get that? So Biden in this press conference, it was described as a big boy press conference. Okay, let's drill down a little bit further. Did you know that Kamala Harris is now Donald Trump?
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president.
When he said that, perhaps you've seen this video, the clearly over his head and conflicted Secretary of State Tony Blinken was sitting next to Lloyd Austin, who makes tons and tons of money on defense stocks, and some other cabinet members. Tony Blinken shut his eyes and exhaled when he said that. Of course, President Trump was quick to respond to this. President Trump, in fact, said on Truth Social that this was an indication of his mental decline. And we'll get to this question a reporter asked. Back to the war room scenario. In less than 2 minutes, Biden said he wasn't ready to talk to Putin and then said he was.
there isn't any world leader I'm not prepared to deal with. But I understand the generic point. Is Putin ready to talk? I'm not ready to talk to Putin unless Putin's ready to change his behavior. Anyway, but so I think that I'm prepared to talk to any leader who wants to talk, including if Putin called me and wanted to talk.
So, I'm sorry, which one is it? 90 seconds. The change. Which one is it? The war room scenario. But, sir, you said to fire.
No, what?
You said to fire the missiles.
Oh, no, I meant to fire the guy who brought lunch.
I'm not trying to make it funny. I'm trying to make it real. How hard would he be to convince of something? If you're a shadow government trying to get things done, how hard would he be to convince of something? It's not cruel to be accurate. Biden claims this is the number one cause of death in children.
More children are killed by a bullet than any other cause of death. The United States of America.
Okay, so no, and then this. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where. Lizard brain. Again, I'm not trying to be cruel. He's not a lizard. He's a human being made in God's image. God loves him dearly. Lizard brain. That's the fight or flight. That's the part of our brains that during a car crash, if you're headed into a car crash, one of God's miraculous designs is your brain starts to skip frames. If you think about frames per second, you know, a film camera is 43 frames per second back when we had film cameras. Now we have digital. Your mind, your brain skips frames. Why? It only gives you the important information. Car, tree, kid, which one do you hit? Well, I'll choose the tree. Whether or not crash into another car because it could kill a person. The kid, no way. I'll take my own life before I harm a child. Your brain feels like things are slowing down because you're only getting every 10th frame because your body says we need only the important information. In this case, this is the figurehead's lizard brain. He knows that he needs to vamp. He has not done well. So he needs to go back to the stump speech that Joe Biden's brain has caused him to give for the last 30 years. At the same time as every Democrat-run city has continued to increase the number of kids being killed as they have created a circumstance where the number one cause of death for young black male teens is young black male teens. And Jesus wept. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does anyone willing to commit this act of theater fear the Lord? No. They don't fear him. They might believe in him, but so do the demons. Now, the demons shudder, but these people don't. Why would I say that? If you're willing to push this act of theater upon the American people, you have to think God doesn't know. He doesn't see. Well, he does. The figurehead whispers that no one is saying he will lose to Donald Trump.
You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me. No one's saying that. No poll says that. Mr. President. Okay. Thank you.
This ends tonight's press conference.
That whisper, I'm asking you, honestly, because I don't know. What effect do you think the figurehead thinks that has? Is it menacing? Is it, you better shut up? I'm serious. I'm going to slap you one. What effect does he think it has? Peter Ducey was the only reporter who got in a news-making question to the figurehead.
Respectfully, earlier you misspoke in your opening answer. You referred to Vice President Harris as Vice President Trump. Right now, Donald Trump is using that to mock your age and your memory. How do you combat that criticism from tonight?
listen to him.
This concludes tonight's press conference. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, everyone.
Listen to him. How do you confront President Trump saying that your screw-up calling Trump the vice president indicates your brain is failing?
Listen to him.
To who? To President Trump? Or to the reporter? That war room scenario is a very real threat. Mr. President, do we fire?
Yes. Yes, I heard you.
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But to fear the Lord, you need to know the Lord. And to know the Lord, you need to understand that fearing him is not a fearing of a vengeful God. It's fearing disappointing a loving God, a loving father. There's a generation of people who have had this stolen from them, this knowledge. And at the American Family Association, we do everything we can to make sure that the Word of God is central to things. Kendra Knox joins us. Kendra is with a group called AFA Activate. Kendra, welcome to Disciples View. It's Todd Herman.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. We are so excited to be able to finally offer some resources to AFA's listeners that they have been asking about forever. So I'm excited to be on with you today.
Thank you so much. So describe Activate for everybody.
Yeah, so the need really arose a couple of years ago when Wesley Wildman was traveling around meeting a lot of AFA supporters and hearing about the kinds of things we talk about on the radio every day and in our print publications. And they were like, this is so important, but how do I take this to my community? How do I take this to my pastor, my church, and start implementing these things? It's one thing to hear about it, but it's another to be able to articulate it yourself. And so they were saying, please, can there be some sort of a worldview training on the issues that AFA addresses? And there's a lot of amazing worldview training programs that are out there and Bible curricula that cover all manner of things. But AFA tackles a lot of the hard-hitting topics. And
yeah.
So we wanted to specifically make something to hit, you know, those issues that are coming up in culture that are so divisive. You know, we have to, as Christians, be able to defend biblical marriage. If someone asks you, well, you know, why can't a same-sex couple get married? A lot of us don't have the verses on hand, the reasoning, you know, or even in the pro-life argument. You know, we know God's word, and we believe that, you know, every life is sacred and precious, but we can't articulate that clearly. So basically, this is a worldview training course to help everyday believers be able to respond to these things. So it's not just videos, but that's the first aspect is you watch a video online. We've brought in 13 amazing professors to teach on topics that they're addressing in the culture regularly. So these are the cream of the cream and the cream of the crop here. And they are going to be teaching a video, and then you have a worksheet that you fill out that really helps you kind of flesh out not just what did I just watch, because sometimes you have that moment where you're like, whoa, it was a lot of information, but how specifically do I apply it to my life, and how can the Lord use me to be a light in this area? So you kind of have to go through these series of questions, and then we're going to take it one step further. Like the reason the whole course is called Activate is because it's not enough to just know things. You know, scripture says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If we really
this is Kendra, say that one again.
Yes, sir. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And we can be these Christians who, oh, people need to do this, and they get that knowledge in that head. But unless you're actually willing to go into our dark and hurting world and start helping people, then you're just a big old puffball that needs to be deflated.
I love how you said that.
We want to help people that really have a heart to help others, but maybe have fear, intimidation from our culture, or they just don't know where to start. Start to take those practical baby steps. So we have these like activity challenges that, in order to graduate as an Activate student, just as an example, like in our pro-life unit, it's not enough to just learn how to respond to abortion arguments, but we want you to go volunteer at a crisis pregnancy center. We want you to go talk to your pastor about how could I make my church a refuge for women who are in a crisis pregnancy. And so There's actually a variety of challenges. Some of them are required. We want you to memorize scripture. We want you to watch certain videos and things. And then some of them, you have an option because we know there's some introverts out there and extroverts, mm-hmm. different personalities, but you'll have a list of things, and you get to kind of pick which challenge fits with your family and your needs. And at the end of all of this, there's 5 whole units, 18 sessions. We want to invite the students that graduate and complete the course to come to AFA, meet us, meet several of the professors that will be in the course, and we're going to have just like kind of a commissioning ceremony where we just pray over you, and you know, God has already sent you out into the world. You know, we're already supposed to be doing things, but we want to pray an extra special blessing over you and just connect you with AFA and all of the resources that we continue to offer so that really it's not about representing AFA. It's just representing the kingdom of God.
I love it.
And putting resources in people's hands.
And here's how you get there. Go to activate.afa.net. And remember this, information is not power. That's a lie. Information is potential power. And what I love about what Activate's doing is just that. Information, accountability, tests, make sure that you retain the knowledge and can use it usefully, given however your personality works, however God made you, and then activating to take advantage of the talents God gave you. It's activate.afa.net. Kendra, thanks so much for coming on The Disciples View. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. So much of Washington, D.C., so much of our financial system, frankly, so much of our news media is theater. I mean, news media makes sense. It's supposed to be part theater. But so much is pretense. Of course, the figurehead pretending that he's running anything is sad, and it's untrue, and it begs the question, who is running things? We've been talking about that war room scenario. There's another scenario that people who are captive, spiritually captive, will so often act against what's good for them. I mean, just think of this. You know, we've all known people, or perhaps you are, maybe it's even us sometimes. Now, if we are believing Christians, we've given our life to the Lord Jesus. We've agreed to be changed by him. We signify that through baptism. We seek his word. We seek his input. We seek the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to run our lives. We can't be captured, but man, we can be messed with. And we can know a thing is wrong and we keep doing the thing. Even the Apostle Paul spoke of this. The things I should do, I don't. That which I should not, I do. He spoke of that out of desperation and yet still joy in the fact that Christ is changing him, was changing him, did change him. But people who are captive to ideology, it's so easy to disprove that they really believe something, okay? So Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she wrote, or actually agreed with one of her colleagues writing against the Second Amendment in this McDonald dissent. In sum, the framers did not write the Second Amendment in order to protect a private right of armed self-defense. This was her view, and then this happened. One of her bodyguards shot a man for trying to steal a car. The McDonald versus City of Chicago case found that the Second Amendment applies to states since they're incorporated by the 14th Amendment. The case involved Otis McDonald, who was 76, wanting a handgun due to the crime in a Chicago neighborhood. He had shotguns but didn't trust them with a robbery. A handgun would be better. But Chicago had a citywide handgun ban passed in 1982, making it impossible to register a handgun in the city. McDonald sued the city. On June 28, 2010, SCOTUS overturned the Seventh Court's decision with the majority 5-4 stating that the right to bear arms is fundamental to the nation's scheme of ordered liberty and deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. Therefore, Chicago's gun ban violated a person's natural right to keep and bear arms for self-defense. Sotomayor joined the dissent that was penned by former Justice Breyer. Here's the full statement. Well, not the full statement, but the full part of the statement. In sum, the framers did not write the Second Amendment in order to protect a private right of armed self-defense. There has been and is no consensus that the right is or was fundamental. No broader constitutional interest or principle supports legal treatment of that right as fundamental. To the contrary, broader constitutional concerns of an institutional nature argue strongly against that treatment. Well, not only is that just laughable hogwash, and easy enough to prove, for instance, this. The First Amendment applies to individuals. So does the Fourth, but not the Second. No. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The people are people, not organizations. A well-regulated militia meant, in the language of the founders, regulated meaning well-supplied. We had warned against a standing army. Framers didn't want one because it would be used against the people. Consequently, it was the people who would take their guns to go fight an invading force or an overbearing government. Now, I was talking about theater, the figurehead, this theater game that he's running things, the theater of a financial system that seven companies get 40% of all investments automatically. Theater. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, thank God, has bodyguards. And one of her bodyguards shot a man for trying to steal a car. Here's how you could prove that Justice Sotomayor doesn't actually believe that these guns are for self, or the Second Amendment's not to protect people, individuals. She's protected by individuals with guns. But she would say, but they're bodyguards. They're individuals with guns. It's not an army. It's not a government. They're individuals with guns. Here's another. When my wife and I lived in a neighborhood that was not the nicest of neighborhoods, my wife was very, very uneasy about my guns. She'd not grown up around them. She, in fact, said, I don't think I want them in the house. I don't think we should have them. They scare me. Well, that was her belief. Until the night came that a young man tried to break into our front door. She woke me. I'd been on business travel. Was dead asleep. She woke me. She said, someone's at the front door. I said, what? Someone's at the front door. That happened that we had a downstairs basement in this room we'd built. Super nice. And I looked out the window. And in fact, there was a young man trying to jimmy the lock. Don't know why he chose the front door. Weird, weird decision. And usually I parked my car in the driveway. That night I'd parked it in the garage. He probably thought both of us were gone. Both cars in the garage. Never happened. And I said to her, call 911, tell them I'm armed and what's going on. She did. I opened the window and I produced a weapon with a flashlight on it, mounted to it, and a red light pointed at him. And he looked down at his chest for a moment and tried to wipe the red light off of his chest. And I said, it's a gun aimed at your chest. You're going to want to run. And he did. He ran up the street. He went into a house. My wife had not succeeded in completing the call to 911 because she was too nervous. But I went up the street and I knocked on the door. And an irate neighbor came downstairs. What are you doing? I told him. There was a young man just attempting to break into our home. And he ran into your house. And the man screamed his son's name. And his son came upstairs. And I saw him, and he saw me. And I said, thank God I didn't shoot you. If you had entered my home, I probably would have killed you. What were you doing? It was a dare. It was a stupid dare. All he was supposed to do was break in and steal something to prove that he had. My wife changed her opinion on guns. Sonia Sotomayor could prove that she believes the Second Amendment does not exist to defend the lives of individuals by saying, I'll no longer have armed bodyguards. After all, it was just a car. Oh, incidentally, the man who was shot is expected to live. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Justice Sotomayor on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
And I hope that... Prime Minister Xi, she has some difficulties right now.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. This is a video from Finland. And we actually played this earlier this week, and people emailed asking to hear it again. This has been made to teach migrant men to not rape women. Now, let's just go through the thinking behind this. A group in Finland noticed that migrant men, meaning usually illegal immigrants, and meaning often from Muslim countries. I'm not saying that all Muslim men are rapists. That's inherent. They need to say that. Of course, that's not the case. And all too many are. Someone in a group said, hey, you know what? To stop this, we'll put out a video that chants this. Stop, don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. And we'll put cheesy 80s video game music behind it. And then that way these men will know. Okay, this is going to override a culture that has taught these men that women who do not wear the hijab are mere objects. And in fact, are causing men to do this. And in fact, it's the women's fault. No, that won't work. But what would work is securing your border and making sure that when you welcome people into the combined home of the country, that those people have some reason for wanting to join your country, some respect for your culture, and a willingness to help build your culture. Certainly bring in their ideas and their background and their art and their views, but respect the culture to which they're coming, starting with the laws. And, of course, the sanctity of a woman's body in regard to sexual assault. Second clip in today's Tower of Babbling. The same administration that fired our special forces soldiers for not providing health information now chooses to hide the health information of figurehead Biden.
That's a very basic, direct question.
Wait a second.
Eight times, or at least once, in regards to the president specifically.
Hold on a second.
What you should be able to answer by this.
You're
Dr.
asking
Kevin
me.
Kevin Kennard, come to the White House.
But I also said to you, for security reasons, we cannot share names.
Security reasons. There's only one person in the White House who has Parkinson's. That's Joe Biden, in all likelihood. There's only one person in the White House showing signs of Parkinson's. That is Joe Biden. For security reasons... Again, it's theater. They don't care about security. Go back to the war room scenario. The security of the nation hangs in the balance, and in 90 seconds, the president needs to make a decision. Do we fire the missiles? Do you give the okay for the kill shot? What do you do? Mr. President, make the call.
I want Bo to answer that.
Bo's dead.
What? Dead?
That's a real scenario that could happen. And that would be national security. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Whoopi Goldberg continues digging through the bottom of the barrel of political discourse.
I don't care if he's pooped his pants. I don't care if he can't put a sentence together. Show me he can't do the job. And then I'll say, okay, maybe it's time to go. I have poopy days all the time.
Ha! You are not going to be sitting in a situation room 90 seconds or 10 seconds from, or ultimately 1 second from saying, yes or no, fire the missiles. You're not going to be doing that. He could be. I don't think he's going to be, because I think the shadow government's so in place that he's not even going to be brought to that meeting. I don't think they would wake him. Do you? I think later they'd come and rewrite history. He made a brave decision. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On a Disciple's View.
Several months ago, I received an email from a listener. And I had a brief correspondence with this woman. And finally, she agreed to let me just say a little bit of something about this. She wrote me a note and expressed her deep, deep, deep discomforts and unease and unhappiness in her marriage of 20 years. What she explained to me, and I use her first name, obviously, only Leah, is that her husband came from a background where her his family has deep roots in mental illness. There's a lot of it in his family. She said, I was 18 when I got married. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was signing up for. And she explained that her husband has never been physically violent to her, ever. She wanted to make that clear. But that he goes sometimes weeks without speaking a word to her. Living in the same house, not speaking a word to her. Passing her in the hallways without a word. Getting into bed without a word. That sometimes she comes home and the kids are gone. Not a word. He will not respond to a text. Where are you with our kids? Not a text. Sometimes he has disappeared for 3 weeks at a time. Not a word. And she asked me, I don't think he's having an affair. I don't think he has any feelings that way. I think that this feelings that he had are somehow gone. We have two kids as a result of our marital union, but we no longer have union. And she asked me, do I have grounds for divorce? What I said was, I'm not qualified to answer that. That should be between you and your pastor, you and God. Classically speaking, biblically, she doesn't think there's adultery. My question is for you. Is that a marriage? Is that a covenant? I was thinking, and I'm forgetting the verse, and I wrote back to her from Timothy. There's a verse in Timothy saying that a man who will not care for his own family is no better than an unbeliever. Doesn't care include looking your wife in the eye and saying good morning? I'd like your feedback on that. Email me, please, at thetoddhermanshow.com. In the beginning was the Word was with God, because we believe, we speak, because He first loved us. We speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until we speak again together, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your family. And on behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.